Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right. Well, I'm here with Guy Montgomery, and I feel disempowered, Guy. Jesus Christ, are you okay?
I am. I haven't spoken yet today, and I'm warming up my vocal cords on the pod. I mean, it's 8 a.m. where I am too.
Oh, I saw you sent me a screenshot of you watching the movie, and the clock hadn't struck 6 a.m. yet, brother.
Not even 5:30. I timed it out. This is the window. This is when I can, and also importantly, want to talk about Fast 7.
Mm.
And so I figured out I'm in Australia. Tim's in New Zealand. If I get up at 5:10 and just shotgun it, one hit, I can roll straight into a chat with my boy. I factored in a little 10-minute trip to the coffee shop. Don't worry about me, you know.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. And do you know what? I mean, I'm just going to start the conversation by saying this.
Mm.
It's the most I've enjoyed the movie. I actually had...
There is. That makes me sick.
I had a great
You're dying. Here's the thing, though. You're really sick right now. So I think your perception of reality is all out of whack. You cannot say four words together without coughing at the moment. I'm worried about you. You're running a fever. You're telling me that Furious 7 was an enjoyable watch at the crack of dawn.
I'm saying that the viewing experience changes film to film. And in this film, I thought it was a pretty good viewing experience. I feel like I finally met the movie on its terms.
This is the thing you have the biggest boner for at the moment. And let me tell you why I feel disempowered. All of my audio equipment has been taken from me. I don't have it. So apologies for the listener. I might sound quite a bit shitter today.
What?
Guy, you'll notice I'm not holding a mic. Look at my hand. It's empty. I'm not holding a microphone right now.
You're not holding a microphone.
I was filming some stuff on Saturday night. And then Saturday night was a big one. And all my gear is in someone's car who's coming later.
Whose car?
Laura Daniels. At this point, it wasn't Simone's.
It's not like you to leave your audio equipment in someone else's, let alone care, but their car. Cars to get broken into all the time. Okay. What do you care?
Well, I had the data. I got all the data. I had my laptop with me. I got all the data off the cards. It was mainly the cameras is the big expense, but I got all the data off, and I was like, hey, listen, stuff gets stolen. That's God's will. That's what the universe wants for me. That's fate. But
and so
what I need to take a little control over is the recorded stuff.
Yeah, but you've not yet been reunited.
Yes,
you've watched Fast 7, and you're sort of treating this like a like it's a throwaway phone call, I guess. In a sense, then. You're not. This is all just
I don't know about
incidental
that.
To you. What, this isn't important to you?
I've got a backup microphone that I'm using, Guy. You can't see it, but it's just not going to be as good.
I see.
Here's the second reason I'm feeling disempowered right now, and this gets to me. We're on a tight timer today, Guy. You and I both.
Yeah.
Very limited slot that I would, you know, I believe that's why you got up semi-voluntarily before 6 a.m. to start watching Furious 7. I haven't had a coffee and I don't have one with me. And that is a truly horrific set of circumstances.
Have you let your blood sugar dip?
No, I smashed a bunch of pizza, but I'm decaffeinated, uncaffeinated.
A bunch of pizza, man. You're all over the map this morning, dude.
It's festival, baby.
When did you watch the movie?
I did a two-parter. I'm sorry.
Of course you did. Do you even know what it means to watch a movie in one go? Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever sat down and watched a whole movie the way the goddamn writers and director intended?
I'll take this because I deserve it. All right, I'll fucking wear it.
Talk about not meeting the movie on its terms. The movie's not called, you know, Half Fast, Half Furious 3.5. It's Fast and the Furious 7, Tim.
Do you know how much
if you want to get your fucking head around what we're watching, might I suggest watching it?
This is the worst morning ever. I have to eat shit from Guy Montgomery while I haven't had a coffee. This is the absolute fucking pits, man.
You got to eat all sorts of turds from Guy Montgomery.
Sucks.
Let me walk you through it. By the way, you want to talk about having the cards stacked against you.
Yeah.
For some reason, the fact, as we've discussed in detail, I've bought this movie from YouTube before.
Oh, no.
When I logged on to be like, sweet as, at least I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
YouTube were like, you've never watched this movie. You don't even know this movie exists until now. So I've rented it for another $4.99 AUD. At 5 past 5 in the morning.
Oh my god!
I've watched it again, and look, I'm gonna level with you. So yeah. I watched the first half was somewhat challenging.
I thought you were gonna reveal that you watched it in two hits.
No. I could see your eyes lit up. You thought you could wiggle your way off the hook. I am sorry for this cough, everyone. First half was not so hot, but then I thought, do you know what I've got in my room? What am I doing today? I've got to get in a taxi once this conversation's finished and go to the airport. So at about 6:15 a.m., I'm getting stoned in my hotel room to finish watching Fast 7.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, I think it's a combination of the tiredness and, probably the weed and just the general state of affairs. Like I'm basically on zero in the tank right now. All of a sudden, the eyes glazed over and the action all... It all made sense. It all, like, I was engaging with it with the level of interrogation, I suppose. Or, I let it wash over me.
Lack of interrogation?
I think so.
Can I just get this timeline straight in my head? I'm a little confused. What time did you arrive in to the, country?
Australia.
Did you say you were watching this on an Uber from the airport?
No. I said after this conversation, I've got to get in a taxi.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gotcha. Right.
So I arrived in Australia yesterday.
Yes.
And I leave today. So that's your timeline. So I had to work yesterday. So this was the window.
Roger that.
But I can't tell you. It was after the cars had leaped out of the airplane, which, by the way, is a remarkable stunt. That was actually what inspired me to take action and really try to enjoy this movie, because I was watching it and I thought, this looks incredible. And so I researched it. That stunt is a real point of pride for this film.
Right.
Do you know how much work went into that? They were sending real cars out of real aeroplanes.
Wow. I didn't know that. I couldn't pick that up.
It was anti-CGI. Even the landings were actual cars. So they got those. They had two, I can't remember the names of the jets, flying at 12,000 feet.
Yeah.
Two cars went out of each jet. They had 10 cameras to film it, three inside the cars. They had skydivers going down before and after the cars to film the cars going through the air.
Wow.
And then to capture the landings, they had like cars on cranes and they dropped their drivers in the cars who, while the car was being dropped from the crane, were accelerating as hard as they could so that when the cars hit the ground, they were running at like 40 miles an hour. So the whole stunt is real. Like, the only thing that was digitally altered was they took the cranes out of the shot.
That's fucking crazy. That's wild.
That's the thing. And we've been taking some of it for granted, Tim.
Yeah, because we've been taking a lot of it for granted.
The trouble is, and you know, this, some would argue this is an inherent flaw in the way we're doing this. We're going backwards. We don't appreciate the growth. Like I don't.
True.
Even Vin Diesel's character. The problem with Vin Diesel's character for us is that we never got to watch him grow into this figure. We never got to see him develop into this like idiot who sort of kind of knows he's invincible but doesn't totally know.
Yeah.
We're like watching him go backwards to just being mortal again. And I think if we just appreciated the flight part, the ascent of this man, I think we could really get into it.
I like that you are, you know, sort of working backwards to figure out that the very stupid idea that we did for this season is a bit flawed. That's pretty
big
funny
time.
Stuff. You've done your research, brother.
What do you think about all this? It's just like...
Okay, sorry, I got distracted momentarily by something because I forgot that you're recording this separately and I was like, I can't hear you through the mic that you're holding. And then it started troubling me. This is the issue with being the technical producer. I can never fully engage with just what you're saying because there's always like three pieces of equipment that I've got to
not
make
so
sure
long,
are
not so long
as
I'm abroad. I will concede that.
You're smashing it, mate. I'm the one in the wrong here. And you're absolutely right. We're doing the hero's journey, ass about face, and it doesn't work in that order. As for the stunts, you did right. You know, the Mission Impossible franchise is another good example of this, where they started crazy and they got fucking ludicrous, if you'll excuse the tie-in pun to this franchise.
Mm.
And it's a real point of pride for them. Like, essentially, their marketing campaign is, hey, look at this GoPro footage of Tom Cruise actually dangling off a plane again. This time he's even higher than the last Mission Impossible movie. And I guess I wasn't aware that the Fast... I guess I kind of... You know that if it's a big blockbuster Hollywood franchise, they're going to try and outdo each stunt they had in the last action movie. But that, what you're describing is fucking impressive. There's no getting
around
and
it. So this is the thing, right? And I sort of... I guess we glossed over it in Fast 8 when the cars go... The car, like, waterfall out of the building, which was also...
have some respect and call the movie by its name.
Oh, The Fate of the Furious. In that one, you know, that was a real stunt too. I think because in Fast 9, which we'd already off the books watched like a few times, and so we're sort of immediately frustrated by, because the stunts in that are so ridiculous, because the stunt essentially is like the cars go to space, or there's, you know, there's the jungle. Or like there's the grapple hook around it. It's like, it's so clearly interpolated with CGI. It's just so, it's nonsense that, and because we're working backwards, it's like we accept these stunts as also just being totally far-fetched instead of recognizing that what we're watching is like the pinnacle of stunt work at the time. Because this was before it was like the cars can go in space. This was like the cars are still cars. And if this military operation was to actually happen, how would they go about it? And they put in the mahi.
It's by degrees though, isn't it? Because I imagine as we go back, we go forwards and the franchise goes backwards, we're going to see an even more earthy, grounded version of a race franchise where it's just looking at cars being awesome at driving, right? Because you know, this movie, despite the fact that it is using the physics of the universe we live in. It's still, and you know, it's filmed rather than made in a computer. It still is a very highly manipulated scenario to get the shots that we're seeing of planes falling out of buildings, right? Yeah. Whereas as we travel back, when we get to Tokyo Drift, we're just looking at some fucking excellent driving. And that's how this franchise, I imagine, got the fan base.
That's what we've always, that's what, you know, I've been looking forward to this whole time. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So in this one, it's funny because it does bridge that gap, right? Where it's like cars can suddenly do anything a little bit. I'm sure it's happened before as well. But it really cracked me up when they're in... So it's like the final scene when they're driving through Los Angeles and all of them are different cars and they're driving along and they're sort of like, you know, they're gathering recon for this final mission they have to pull off. And Letty's like, you know, they're on comms, they're on the super cars. And Letty's like, how many cars have they got? And before you even hear the answer, it's just so funny that it's like, in these guys' minds, they're dealing with like the premier global terrorist in the world. And they're like, and they will meet us on our terms and only compete with us through the medium of cars. Like, it's just, it's not even a question that they would use anything that isn't a car. And so it's like, dude, how many cars have they got?
When you're a driver, every problem looks like a car, you know?
Exactly. It's how many cars have we got? And then I can't remember if it's Roman or Ludacris. Like, that's the problem. They're not cars. And
this stuff that isn't cars?
They're introduced to helicopters.
It's kind of like they're in the Disney Cars universe where everything is a car and they've just been introduced to something that isn't a car and it just doesn't make any sense to them because it's like there can be things that aren't cars. There's a perhaps apocryphal tale of when I think the Mayflower first landed at Plymouth Rock in America, and the Native Americans couldn't see it because the seafaring vessel of such size and shape was such a foreign object. Like, it just made no contextual sense for anything they'd ever seen or experienced before, that they were unable to see it until it was like at the shore. And it feels like that, like, they just these guys, they can't see anything unless it's through the prism of how it is a car.
Exactly.
And or this, a driver. I think drivers as well. Like, if you're not a driver, you're not a person. And if you're not if the thing isn't a car, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, but it's beautiful because they're also so good with cars that they can still defeat anything just with cars. Yeah. Even like Jason Statham, the whole movie, Jason Statham's character, he's all about explosives. Huge explosives guy. I think it's even a line in Hobbs and Shaw where he's like, well, you know, my country, we don't use grenades to settle fights or whatever.
Yeah.
And so all he's doing is using explosives. And then in the final penultimate battle scene, like, this guy, he's ruthless. He doesn't care about anything. He'll do anything to get, you know, to meet his needs. Vin Diesel somehow reduces him to their battle royale taking place holding giant, like, wrenches, like car tools. Like, this guy, all he does is fucking throw grenades around the place. And then the most important moment in his life, he's like, and of course, I will settle it with the metal bar.
Well, this is very neat because my shining light was that exact moment that you're leading up to this watch, which feels like there's quite a few moments in this movie where you're like, oh, okay, that's for the trailer. That's so they could put that bit in the trailer. And this is one of them. But it landed for me where he grabs the two metal bars off the busted car. And Vin Diesel it's a callback to earlier when Dom Toretto and Deckard Shaw first encountered one another. And they're going to have a big fist fight. But then Shaw says, sorry, I'm going real slow because I'm like, is his name Shaw? Yes, it is. Yeah, Jason Statham. This I am confident in. Jason Statham goes, he pulls out a big fucking gun. He says, you thought this was going to be a street fight? You really thought this was going to be a street fight? And so then when they meet again, with their cars fucking smashed up against each other because these knuckleheads can't think of any other way to interact than smash cars into each other to fight. They get out and then they're going to have another fist fight. And we've got the two bits in middle. Dom picks them up. Dom picks up the wrench, sorry, as you just said.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shaw picks up the two bits of metal. And Dom says, you thought this was going to be a street fight? You're goddamn right it is.
That's right.
It's a good
and they
line.
Are right. It's a good street fight. I mean, yeah, even I think not totally in the action sequences was I like compelled the whole time. But I was honestly, I was taken aback by how much I managed to, it was sort of like catching a hot riff if you're on stage. I don't even know how to articulate. It was like I got in the zone where
you're
I was watching the movie. Yeah, I was in a flow state watching the movie, and as soon as I was cognizant of it, I became so self-conscious about puncturing the world where I was like, this is the perfect movie for me right now. But somehow it maintained. I mean, like, my shining light's actually from the start of the movie, but I just want to pepper you with some moments I really enjoyed throughout it, which was
love to hear them.
The Rock, I mean, so The Rock, when he decides daddy's got to go to work, stands up and just tenses his arm and the cast explodes off the arm. Shit like that is so funny. Roman's line, I might have highlighted it before, but when Ramsay's running through everyone being like, you're this, you're that, you're that, and then she sees something and he's like, double alpha, and then she keeps like ignores him and keeps going and, you know, says exactly what everyone in the group does. And
she says, like, sorry, just for a little bit of context, so she goes, this guy's the hacker. That's why he took exception to the hacker joke before. He's the tech guy. This guy's the alpha. This woman is Mrs. Alpha. This guy's the Joker. This is you're wrong. Double alpha.
Yeah, and so she keeps going, and she's like, anyway, you guys aren't with the government because you're all too crazy or whatever. And then they all keep the conversation going. Roman goes, she's so off, it's crazy. You're just going to roll with it? You're telling me there can't be a double alpha in one group? Like, that whole line is funny.
Yeah, he's fucking good in that. He's good in this movie, actually. He is super funny.
And then he also has, which I'm wondering, because there are lines that recur throughout it, like The Rock's specific genre of trash talking, which I find so grating and tiring.
What, some bitch? You know, like, some bitch chatter?
When he first sees Statham, he's like, you sure as hell aren't the IT guy, so you better start talking before I break your fingers 6 different ways and stick it where the sun don't shine. And you're like, okay,
he's someone by way of Tennessee and guys imagining of The Rock.
I'm having trouble with accents. And then, but Roman does he does Blanter in Fast 8, where he's like, I know who you are, you're Blanter, Black Santa. I'm wondering if this is just a recurring joke, because in this one he says, I'm going to start a new religion, Blair it. Well, I'm
Black culture. Arab. I'm starting new culture, yeah. Blair it.
And then also you've got Ramsey saying zeros and ones. Like, inside of all of these rote things, it can be, I suppose, because we're seeing them get seeded. Yeah, it's just the reverse order. I mean, it's a great premise, but...
It's kind of colored by numbers, though, isn't it? When you've got these structures for lines and jokes that you just got to fill also, in that movie's exactly. version of this joke.
It's also so funny to be like, not problem solving, but picking up on recurring bits, you know, while traveling through time, I guess.
Like you're seeing through the Matrix a little bit?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
So, okay, where's your shining light at, brother?
The shining light was at the very, very start when Brian's dropping Jack, his son, off at school.
Yeah.
And he says, we made it, buddy. And then he just goes, yay, we made it, or whatever. But it's it's so cute. And also, I think it's just a perfect take. So acted by this kid.
Yeah.
I really love that moment.
Yeah, actually, he out-acts Paul Walker in that scene. Mm. I guess Paul Walker's got a tricky emotion to portray, which is a parent who is happy to be dropping their child off at school whilst maintaining the full heft of their suburban life weighing heavily on them, away from the bullets and the babes that he misses very much.
His ability to execute that, or almost execute that, is why he gets paid millions of dollars to be in the movie. And I will say,
guy,
this
I'm sorry
Walker,
to tell you, but he has passed away.
You don't need to tell me twice. I shed a tear in the credit sequence.
And rightly so.
I was moved. I was moved because, again, I was seeing it the way that it was seen in the cinema, I guess, or as close as, but it was like, fuck, man. These guys, everyone in the movies, but also all the fans, have been on such a journey with this guy. And it's such a crazy piece of timing. It's so tragic that he would lose his, you know, like in between. There's a tragedy. There's a human life was, you know, a beloved friend and family member was lost. But also for the movie, I mean, what a very conflicting and confusing moment where the movie's still got to get out, you know. And I just thought it was handled so beautifully when he's young and he's got his like blonde hair and he's got his arms up on that yellow car that's like above his head in a mechanics workshop. That's when it came out, because I was like, he's so young, man.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that whole sequence is, you're dead right. They handled it so beautifully, because that got to me this week as well. It's a very emotional what are they called? Montage.
Yeah.
Tastefully done. Really tastefully handled.
I've got some other notes. I mean, I just figure, as long as I'm feeling this good about it, I just want to tell you all about some other things I liked. I still really laughed at when Vin Diesel at the start, he's talking to Mia, his sister. Or I think it's him. Yeah, he's saying, tell Brian, it's like after the call to action. And he's like, tell Brian I'll see him in LA in 2 days. And so I think any normal moviegoer would be like, okay, so he's going to Los Angeles. And then his sister, Mia's like, where are you going? And he's like, Tokyo.
Yeah.
I think that's so funny.
You, me, and my dad had a good crack up at that last week as well, didn't we? We were like, that's not the itinerary. That's not the way you get there.
There's a line halfway through the movie after Dom and his crew have executed a mission that Kurt Russell says, which really got me, which is, I think I've also, because I saw Big Trouble in Little China, I've just got this deep, an even deeper seated love for Kurt Russell now, but in the middle he's like, with all due respect, Dom, you really did great work back there.
Yeah, I brought that up two episodes ago as making no fucking sense, because it's a line that sort of undoes itself. Like, the first bit does not marry up with the second bit.
It's a bait and switch. It's funny. It's a joke. It's a stand-up joke. You could say that on a stage.
Yeah, but you got to put a pause in, and he does. Anyway, we've been through this. I'm not going to revisit this.
All right. What else have I got? Oh, when they pull off the Ramsey car transfer in the big final scene where they
hot potato.
Yeah.
You know that, and on then, the call sheets and stuff. I really only tuned in this week to how much they kind of talk about that plan before they do it, and how they keep talking about a hot potato.
Yeah.
On the call sheet, that's the hot potato sequence. Like, that's all the stunties are hired for the hot potato sequence.
Well, they would have used a code name because it would have been a secret, because they could, you know, Kumara. They wouldn't want leaks from TMZ. Yeah, the that's
sweet,
right.
They call the sweet cold, potato
the cold Kumara. The cold Kumara. But ludicrous afterwards when he's like, I can't believe we pulled that off, is sort of a rare moment of almost self-reflection, or like the, you know.
Have
I don't
you
know if it's deliberate.
Been forgetting F9 this quickly, my dude?
What is it? What happens in F9?
There's a whole sequence where he questions the very fabric of existence because they're still alive.
That's Roman. This is ludicrous.
Oh, you're talking about Luda. Oh, sorry. Yeah, gotcha.
He goes, I can't believe we pulled that off. And you're in the cinema and you're like, yeah, me too, Luda, but you guys always find a way. And then also, like, okay, I love the parkour guy. Brian's ongoing parkour nemesis. They have two big battles.
They're going Letty rocks.
Love Letty when they're doing the big final mission or whatever. And they need help. Like, everyone's really busy in the action. Vin's fighting Statham with bars. Like, Roman and Ludacris and Ramsey are, like, following this helicopter to try and hack the God's Eye. And someone's like, we need help. And then Letty gets called in, and she's like, hang on, I'm coming. And it's like, well, Letty, what have you been doing for the last 15 minutes? Because everyone else is really deep in this right now. And are you just doing blocks of Los Angeles waiting to provide some utility?
You got to wait for the call up. Is that the bit where Ramsey's in her car in the passenger seat? And she's like, who do we call for help? And she says, honey. Honey, it's just us or something.
We are just us. The help. That's what happens afterwards. So after Letty's called in and she saves Ramsey, then they have that line. But before that, literally, you don't see Letty for a long time and you forget about it until they need to reintroduce Letty. And Letty's like in the drive-thru in and out, being like, you got it. Here I come.
Cancel the fries. I got to go.
Exactly.
Here's a little detail I noticed.
Oh, you go. So please.
You finish your thought, guy. I don't mean to.
Well, it's nothing, man. I'm just over the moon that I feel like I've had a breakthrough with this movie. And it feels so fleeting. Like, what's been confusing, not confusing, but is, I guess it's to be expected, is that there's no consistency about how I'm feeling about this thing, film to, you know, watch to watch.
Sure.
Like, I think, you know, we made not a mistake because it was a great episode and it was a big day of work. But like, what the first time doing it as a second screening with David in the middle of a comedy festival meant that we didn't get to see it with the fresh eyes it deserved.
Totally. You know,
we didn't get to actually whip the scab off and say, well done us, we've earned the right to a new movie, you know,
he was bringing that classic Irish cynicism to the
watch, which we all love so much. That's right. But, I'm seeing it now, and I don't think I'm going to feel like this the next screening. I'm going to try. I just don't think it's going to happen.
We should definitely get stoned and watch it on the projector as soon as we can, I think.
Do you know who we should get over to do it with us? Should get Joseph Morin. We should get the great champion of Fast 7.
One more job. Bring him back into the fold.
I feel like we have to. Here's a guy who's going to help us enjoy the movie. He's going to be... He's a diehard. He's going to be cackling, cracking up, telling us behind the scenes anecdotes. It'll be like sitting with the Amazon X-ray feature.
That's what they call him, the human Amazon X-ray. I almost went and saw Fast X last night with Joseph.
What happened?
Zoe went out with a friend, so I had to look after Remy. But I was like, I didn't really sleep on Saturday night. I think I got like 3 hours sleep and then I had to get up and go to a meeting and fucking do the day. Mm. So I was pretty bushed. But by the time 6 o'clock rolled around, because I kind of still thought I was going to the movie. I was like, I can fucking do this. This will be all G. But then at about 5:30 p.m., it occurred to me that I hadn't watched Fast 7 yet. And so within a 12-hour window, I would have to watch... Fast X is like 2.5 hours, right?
I would have imagined it would be 3. I'll get the fucking number up hell. For you now.
So whatever, that block of time... Yeah, please do look that up. That duration plus Fast 7 plus sleep before we got on the call right now, like, that would be a lot.
Hell yeah. Oh, it's the classic, 2 hours 20. They seem to figure out a formula where it's like, yeah. For them, 2 hours 20 is how long it takes to make a Fast and Furious movie.
I've got a couple of things to throw at you, Guy Montgomery.
Please do.
As Dom and Letty are driving towards Race Wars, which again, I don't think we talk enough about the fucking name of this car enthusiast festival going on. Fuck it out. And then the fact that Dom says, Letty says, have we been here before? And yeah. Dom says, been here.
Been
we
here.
Started it. You started Race Wars, bro.
Hell yeah. And it's a real point of pride. That's his foundation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So what I was going to mention is on the car that Dom's driving, don't ask me name what it is, couldn't tell you. I guess it's his Charger, but it feels like it's actually a different car, but it's sporty, whatever it is. I describe it as a sporty little number. There's a, for like 3 frames in the movie, there's a Cuban flag on the car. And so like this combined with F9, like is Dom Toretto Cuban?
F8.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Fate of the Furious. Is Dom Toretto Cuban?
I don't actually... I mean, I always knew...
There's that screen comes up in this movie, which has, like, some details, which refers to his hair as black or dark.
Yeah.
Which is very
what
funny.
About, no, because in Fast 9, what does Charlize Theron say to... John Cena, says, I knew your family had quite the mixed bloodline, but I never detected a Nordic strain.
Yeah,
but there's no reference to what the other mixed bloodline is.
Correct. And that's because she sees Jacob and is like, this motherfucker's Aryan, and you look different from Dom Toretto.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're telling me you guys are brothers? So here's the other bit of research I did, Guy. I looked up the Lycan Hypersport, which is the car that's in the Wiz Khalifa towers that they have to drive
of
through
course.
The windows.
Of course.
So accurate, there are only 7 of these cars ever made. They are valued at $3.4 million each. And my favorite fact that I found out about them, it is the first car to have headlights with embedded jewels. They contain titanium LED blades with 440 platinum diamonds, totaling 15 carats. Although buyers had a selection of rubies, diamonds, yellow diamonds, and sapphires to be integrated into the vehicle's headlights at purchase based on the color choice. Now, only 7 of these cars were made. They're made by a car company that was founded in Lebanon, and it's like the only, I think one of the, it's the only like luxury car manufacturer in the Middle East, and I think there's like one bit in Lebanon and one bit in the UAE. The police, the Abu Dhabi police, have one of these.
That's cool. That's like that's old school, sort of like taking the piss level. Kind of we're the police, so we do what we want vibes. That's crazy,
isn't it? So they've got this car that goes like, oh, I didn't copy this bit down, but it's, you know, it's like 0 to 200 kilometers in 10 seconds. I think it was like 9.5 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Can I, they're pretty, also, oh,
yes, go on.
Can I just say, amongst all this, just while I still have the vision for it, hammering home the Middle East thing, the fact, you know, like I haven't even spoken about that whole sequence in the middle, but like I'm just thinking about the family are out there hanging out at the pool. Is there a world, can we imagine, where at the same pool, like Carrie and Samantha and the girls are all hanging out there, like dueling timelines, and so you still get the same car sequence where Paul Walker and Vin Diesel like drive the supercar through, and then it, like, you know, they drive it through the third building, it goes all the way and it crashes down like into the pool while Samantha, Miranda and stuff are all lying by the pool and they all get splashed by the water, and then Samantha says like, oh, and I thought my hormones were a car crash.
Honey, I didn't know that the car was going down on me here. You can punch that up, but I'm in the wheelhouse.
But you know what I'm trying to say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like absolutely.
It all makes sense.
See, oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to think of. No, we got to do lines for everyone. What's Carrie's little fucking response to a $3.5 million luxury car?
You know what? Her response is like, oh, great. So as if I didn't have enough to deal with the whole Aiden palaver.
Yeah, because the falling car killed Charlotte. Yeah, but yeah. Carrie's annoyed that she's got another thing she has to deal with.
Seeing Charlotte be maimed by 700 tons of alloyed steel couldn't help but make me wonder, what would my funeral be like?
And they've got to get Charlotte's remote. And it's all incredibly complicated because now we've got the interaction of, she's Jewish, right? She converted. So they've got to do some sort of like Jewish ceremony you know, handling of the remains while they're in Abu Dhabi. And who am I forgetting? Fucking Miranda.
Miranda's
response to this is...
Under Sharia law, it says if a car hits someone from a falling building, the driver is liable.
Fucking hell. We need this crossover event. Maybe it will happen. We've got, and just like that, season 2 coming out very soon. And you know your boys.
So soon.
Your boys are going to be all over that, like white on rice.
We actually, you and I need to sit
we down need to talk. Do you know what, guys? We need to have a talk.
We need to have a proper chat.
Oh, no. What are we up to? Do you know, I wrote down a separate shining light from the one I gave you before. And it was
please.
Just the shot of, you know, the welding district that we get a shot of in Abu Dhabi at nighttime. It just looks so fucking cool to me. And I haven't been on like a cool, like very foreign international holiday for a number of years since before COVID. I've only been to Australia, and it just gave me pangs of like Thailand or Japan or some other like non-English speaking country where I find that so thrilling. Like just being in an environment that's actually novel and different, and the culture and the language is different and the people are different. Like I have not done a lot of traveling. I'd like to do some more. And
I mean, let's look at this.
I won't go to Abu Dhabi, to the welding district, is what I'm saying.
Look at the way that the Fast and the Furious franchise can broaden horizons. It culturally enriches our day. Mm. It is, it's a reminder that the world is big and we are small, that anything is possible.
Yeah.
That love crosses boundaries. That there's nothing more important or powerful than family.
A reminder of our own mortality and precious moments on this earth.
And the immortality of those who are fortunate enough to be close with Dominic Toretto.
Well,
you know, Every morning, basically, Tim, I sleep from about 10 past 5 a.m. till 7 a.m. Every morning, basically, you'll find me sleeping. And if I'd known I could start every day with this feeling, this wouldn't just be the fourth time I've seen Fast 7. I don't know how many days I've been alive, but that's how many times I would have seen Fast 7.
What a beautiful note to end on, Guy. I feel very uplifted, and it feels a little cheeky, a little jestful, if that's a word. I don't think it is. Let's start it. But I think it's a lovely note. I'm going to just take it on its face value. So with Thank you, dear libertarian listener, I hope you're excited about the upcoming US election. I don't know who your candidate is this time in the Libertarian Party. Hopefully someone really cool again.
Who was another really cool person?
I don't know, man. John McAfee, maybe.
the virus guy.
Yeah.
What happened to those antivirus companies?
Well, he's dead, but the company's still alive.
Do people still use them?
I was in an Uber driver with a guy who does IT and is studying, like, you know, he's getting a degree in cybersecurity. I think this is more about me than anything else, but he was like, yeah, man, you got to get McAfee on your computer. And I was like, you're a fucking idiot if you're studying computer security and you think that's a good idea. He was like, yeah, I've got AVG on my phone. I've got antivirus software on my phone. I was like, you're a fucking moron, dude. You don't. I haven't had antivirus software on any device I own for the last 10 years.
Isn't it like, I don't know a lot about anything, but I always think that antivirus software is a virus now. Like, it's a scam, right?
Yeah, McAfee definitely is. Yeah, man. It's
look.
I don't really know what I'm talking about, so it's probably, you know, it's on me. I'm not getting a fucking degree in it.
Neither am I. And I look forward to watching this movie with you soon.
Much love, Guy Montgomery. Godspeed. And I'll see you soon.
Peace and love. See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.